There's a winner and a loser to everything you do. There's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to hide. Like, whoa, this is different. You can't back down from anything. You got to bring it every freaking day. You are either trained or untrained. The standard doesn't change for anybody. I party my ass off. I am a believer that rivalries matter. Okay, I'm not one of these guys that's like, oh, it's just another game. No, they're not just another game. They're just not. Like, Blanton's, probably Weller, 12 are kind of like my two go-tos.
Hey, Gator fans, great treat for you today. We've got Coach Summerall hanging out with us. Coach, thanks for joining me. I am really excited. Appreciate it. I'm going to jump right in because I know you don't have a ton of time. Okay, so you take the job at Florida and then you see all of the fans' reactions. How crazy did you think that all of us Gator fans were? And did that fuel you, or were you a little bit maybe having some buyer's remorse there?
Yeah, Allie, appreciate you having me on. It's good to join you. I knew this fan base well. I've played against Florida as a player, coached against them plenty. And it's part of what drew me here. The passion, the fireness. It's actually what I felt like fit my personality best. And the authentic, maybe raw emotion, if you will. I think most people that have been around me would say that's pretty fitting for who I am. And I wasn't worried about what people's reaction was going to be in regards to, I know how to do the job. I know what we're capable of. I know what this place is capable of. And I also felt pretty confident that as the Florida football fan base got to know who I am, what I'm about, that we'd be a pretty good marriage together. So really didn't get too worried about it at all.
Okay, so you get into the building and, you know, you get to see your players in real life. What was something about this roster that maybe surprised you in a good way, but maybe also in a challenging way?
Yeah, I think we have some top-end players that are proven known SEC commodities. You have to start with Jaden Ball probably, right? And Jaden Woods would be right up there with him. VB3, Miles Graham. Dallas Wilson. I've talked a lot about, you know, those five, but then there's other guys in that mix as well. That I felt like let's make sure we try to retain as many of the good players that are here that we can. Anytime you walk in, there's going to be attrition. You're not going to go 100% on retention, but, we prioritize some guys. We lost some. I would have loved to have kept. I thought, man, let's keep the guys that fit. Not just are they good enough players, but are they going to fit the culture, which like the Jaden Balls and the Jaden Woods and the VB3s, those guys are all great players. They're also like elite work ethic, blue collar, tough, gritty type of workers. And that's what I want our program to be built around. I believe everybody talks about culture all the time. And that's kind of a buzzword in our society. To me, all culture is what you promote. Or encourage, add it up with what you tolerate or allow. And so those guys promote and encourage pretty much everything I want our place to be about and our program to be about. And so it was important to keep as many of those guys like that as we could. I think we've been in a lot of close games here, and it's maybe trying to figure out how do we flip that script. I've been fortunate to be successful in close games. I haven't been in environments where I've just rolled out the most talented roster every week. In our league last couple of years in the American, there was plenty of teams that had more resources than us and would have maybe a roster that might be quote unquote sexier, if you will. But for me, it's about how do you navigate those margins and find ways to win the games that are close, which in this league, they're all close, it feels like.
Yeah. I've heard you mention in your press conference, your opening press conference and subsequent ones about accountability. What does accountability look like in your building on a random Tuesday, not a game week, not after a win or a loss, but every day?
Yeah, accountability, the definition of that in our program is really just owning your actions. You know, if you want to be a man in this game, you have to be accountable and you have to own what you do and how you do it. And so if we say, start behind the line, it'd be detailed to start behind the line. If we say, you know, finish through the line, you have to finish through the line. We're doing a lot of the things right now in our offseason program to try to create that accountability process of where our team is built, because you have to own your actions and you have to be able to look yourself in the mirror and not be emotional or sensitive, but take the medicine when you need to take the medicine. And so for us, it's really just being accountable for your own actions.
How intense and competitive is your off-season program going to be? I don't know if you've seen Swamp Kings, but my husband played on those teams with Sook and then with Meyer. And I think that fans were blown away by the intensity they saw in that documentary. But in reality, any of us that were around there know that that was just the tip of the iceberg. But I can also tell you that's why they won in 2006 and 2008. So what is it going to be like for you guys?
Yeah, it's ultra competitive. Every day is. So we do our gauntlet. We call it the Gator Gauntlet now that we're at the Florida Gators. But everything is scored. There's a winner and a loser to everything you do. Like, we don't do anything without there being a score involved. And so you're paired up in our mat drills with the same guy all morning. Every rep, there's a winner and his name is called out. And there's a loser and his name gets called out. And so to me, you have to compete every day. You get what you earn in this game and in life. And so for us, there's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to hide. I love the off-season program stuff. It's what I'm extremely passionate about it. We're very detailed with how we do it, but we're constantly competing. We're constantly holding a high standard and putting guys through adversity situations, because there's going to be adversity hit during the season. There always is. And when it hits, do you flinch or do you stand on 2 feet, look it in the eye and man up? And so for us, it's about creating as much adversity in the off-season program so that I don't want to find out a guy's going to quit or not bring it in September or October. I want to find out in February.
Do you think that that's caught some of these guys off guard? I feel like sometimes in transitions, you don't know what you don't know. And you thought you were working as hard as you possibly could, or you thought you were being challenged, and then something changes and you realize you weren't at all.
Yeah, I think the guys would tell you the alignment from the strength staff to the coaches all throughout the building. There is extreme accountability and the standards are ridiculously high. And we're putting things in front of them to do that are ridiculously challenging, because if you want to be successful in this league, you better be challenged. And so I think there's probably some new components to what we're asking this roster to do for the guys that have been here, where they're like, whoa, this is different. You know, look, everything here when we walked in the door wasn't broken. There's been some things that have been done well, but from a competitive edge, and being a little bit fiery and having a little bit of a chip on your shoulder, I think we're asking them to do some things that you can't back down from anything. You got to bring it every freaking day.
You talked ownership of mistakes, you know, in workouts and accountability in that way. But let's say it's a post-game interview and it's clear that things didn't go as planned. How do you place responsibility without deflecting, because you know that's going to upset the fan base, but you also don't want to throw your players and coaches under the bus?
Yeah, look, right, wrong, or different. I say this all the time to our staff. Players win games, coaches lose them. All right. And so I got broad shoulders. I can handle any of the blame that comes my way. I like to deflect success to other people. I like to take on the blame when things aren't going good. You know, I think that really sets the example for everybody in our building, to be able to own outcomes that you're a part of. Now, we get behind the film room, I call it what it is and show them, hey, you have to own this for us to take the right next steps to improve. But I've never been big on maybe calling out a player from a media perspective. I'll own situations that we maybe didn't execute, and I have no problem talking through those when I'm in media availabilities typically, but I'm not into ever placing blame on a player. It's our job to equip the player so that they're prepared for the situation. You know, we talk about this a lot in our program. Nobody rises to the occasion. You fall to the level of your training. Okay. And that's a special ops deal. That's not a my deal or a football thing. That's a Navy SEAL thing. And so you're either trained or untrained. And that's how you get things right, is you do it so many times, not that you get it right, but that you can't get it wrong, that you don't screw it up. And so, and you have to be meticulous and detailed with the expectation of what that looks like when you're carrying something out. And the standard doesn't change for anybody, but I'm into taking the blame and distributing the credit.
So when you turn on film on Sunday morning in the fall, what is the first thing that you watch? Is it execution? Is it effort, communication, body language? What are you looking for first?
It's all of it. I think it's all encompassing. You know, I Sunday morning, my routine, I go to church every Sunday. My wife makes me, but I need to go too after most Saturdays after how I've acted probably. So I watch all three phases, not in order. I watch it split ODK, watch the coaches cut up, not the TV copy, obviously. And I'm watching all of it. I want to watch, an effort component. I want to watch execution. I want to watch situational awareness, decision-making, physicality, all the things that go into winning a game. And so I watch all three phases on my own, go to church. Then I come in and I watch it with each side of the ball, just to make sure we're all on the same page, and that the corrections or maybe the things that we've liked from the game or reinforced, we're all on the same page and there's no gray area. But I like watching it first on my own so I can maybe be a little bit more thoughtful in our staff meeting, as opposed to maybe being fiery or pissed off about something that didn't go the way I wanted to.
If I watched your team for five snaps, no scoreboard, what would tell me that it is a John Summerall coach team?
Yeah, I think people that I've coached against regularly or been in the league with in the past that have been around me would tell you that we're usually tough. We're physical. We play the game with enthusiasm and an edge, and that we adapt to our players. You know, I haven't been in environments where I just maybe get to pick my roster how I want it to look like a la carte. Like, I've had to kind of piece it together. You know, you go to Troy and you sort of have a different roster construction where, and Tulane too, for that matter, we had more resources at Tulane, but I felt like I was a double-A or triple-A baseball team where I'd develop a guy and I'd turn around and 6 weeks later, he's gone. And so I think being adaptable, and that's in every phase, offense, defense, and kicking game, is like, you know, catering to your players' strengths, trying to offset their weaknesses. No, there's nobody that's perfect. We all have maybe some deficiencies in anything we do. And so trying to make sure we put our players in a position to be able to have success. I can't go make plays for them, but it's equipping them and putting them in you know, potential situations that are a positive for them to be successful.
So first three games of the season next year, are you going to be able to tell if your team is going to be able to reach its potential by that point? And if so, why? What did you see?
Yeah, I'd say it's always a work in progress. You know, my first year as a head coach at Troy, my first year as head coach, period, we started the year 1-2. And that kind of sucked, right? Yeah. And so I kind of had to help that team at the time. Had lost a bunch of close games. I had to help them sort of reinvent themselves or refine themselves from a confidence standpoint. The third game was a Hail Mary loss to App State, one of the craziest outcomes of a game you could ever have. That was the catalyst for our turning point, though. The 11th game of the previous year, App State had beaten Troy 45-7. The third game of the next year, right when I got there, they needed a Hail Mary to beat us. And so I think that gave our players buy-in that, hey, we're improving, even though we didn't get the outcome we wanted. Well, that team went on to win 11 straight games, finished 12-2, finished the year 19th in the country in all of college football, the first time that Troy had ever finished the season ranked in FBS history. And so to me, I don't know that it's fair to say, hey, there's this timeline of I'll know by a certain number of games. You're always, to me, it's just you're always trying to get better. You know, I have this mindset of I've never arrived, no matter what the outcomes are. You know, I had a meeting with our team this morning. I've told them, you know, I've been really fortunate the last 4 years as head coach. I've been in a conference championship game every year. And three of those years, we've won them. And I usually celebrate. I party my ass off after those wins. And then the next morning I wake up and I'm like, all right, next year, let's go. Or next game, let's go. Or next whatever, let's go. And so I have fun for the night. But then real quickly, I turn my attention to what is next. And so how do we continue to improve? I don't ever think you know, complacency is a killer. And as soon as you relax, I think you're getting ready to get exposed or embarrassed. And so for me, I don't know that there's a timeline to like, hey, I'll know who our team is. I think you're constantly evolving. And certain players' developmental timelines are different. You know, you may have a freshman that the first 3 or 4 weeks of the year don't know who he is really. In the last 6 weeks of the year, he might be a star. And so you kind of constantly have to, I think, recalibrate and retool and assess who's growing and maybe who's not.
When a team does start to, let's call it drift, what's your first lever that you pull? Like, is it practice structure? Is it staff messaging? Is it player leadership? Like, what do you go to first?
Yeah, I'm a firm believer that that the locker room is going to follow the leadership. Good teams can be coach-led. Great teams have to be player-led. It's my job to equip our best players to be great leaders. And so the locker room has to be the train stoppers. When the train's going the wrong way down the tracks, somebody in that locker room's got to be ready to step up and stop the train and make sure it turns around and goes back the direction we want it to go. And so I think that's about, maybe with me, it's about developing and creating the leaders we need in our locker room to be successful. I've heard people say all the time, like, we just don't have great leadership. I'm like, well, that's a problem. That's a coach problem to me, because a part of my job is to develop leadership. And that's what we do right now. This offseason stuff is about equipping and developing leaders to make the locker room make the right decisions on when things aren't going right. What do we do next? You know, I use the Jocko Willink video with our team all the time. Like, when something bad happens, my response is always good. Like that same App State game in 2022, we threw an interception on the first play of the game. And over the headset, I told my whole staff, said, good. I don't want to watch us play offense. I want to play defense right now. And everybody's like, what is wrong with you? And I'm like, well, I'm not going to respond like, oh, daggum, game's not going our way already. I'm like, good. Well, I want to go watch our defense play. And so I think it's creating a mindset of like, no matter how bad something goes, man, if you got a pulse, you got a chance.
Okay, so something that you are going to learn about me is that I am my husband's a former punter. And so I place a very large value on special teams. I think, you know, show me the effort put into special teams and I'm going to show you whether a coach is really detail oriented or not. And that's been a frustration, not only of mine, but of this fan base over the past several years. So I need to know on game day, on the field, who is in charge making sure the right unit is out there, making sure the right number of guys is out there? Like, who's the person holding the clipboard accountable for that?
Yeah, well, it all comes back to me. So if we don't get the right number of people out there, blame me. But Jonathan Galante is our special teams coordinator. He's in charge of all our special teams units. He was with me last year at Tulane. He was at Marshall with Huff before that. He was at Alabama with Coach Saban for a little while. He does a phenomenal job. The only two transfers we brought from Tulane were our punter, Alec Clark, and our field goal kicker, Durkin. And so, and then the way we handle, we practice all those situations enough that, like I said earlier, you don't practice something till you get it right. You practice till you can't get it wrong. That's sort of the thought process. I have a special teams background. I was a special teams coordinator at Troy for a couple of years. I'm very invested in special teams. I sit in every special teams meeting. We don't have one special teams meeting that I'm in that I don't probably speak up and start talking about something in all of them. And then our strength staff is very dialed into substitutions along with our training staff. I think the biggest tricky part of substitutions on special teams is maybe when a guy goes down, and making sure our line of communication is clear and direct to getting substitutions in place properly. But you practice that throughout the week. You know, like I said earlier, you don't rise to the occasion on game day. You follow the level of your training. You're either trained for those scenarios or you're not. You know, I'll flash back to 2017. I'm the special teams coordinator at Troy. We're getting ready for an end of game hand situation. We're up as to win the conference championship. And I got five guys on my hands team that were out for the rest of the game with injury. And you want to talk about having to adjust on the fly, because you don't practice like that many different guys on the hands team. And so that was a unique challenge. And I think having been exposed to maybe that and my background in special teams, it's something we spend a lot of time on.
All right. Well, that makes me feel much better. Before I let you get out of here, I do want to talk rivalries. UF has a few. You're familiar with them because of your time in the SEC at Kentucky. 10 years ago, it would have been unheard of for a Gator to transfer to Georgia or to Florida State. Both of those things have happened in the last couple of years for UF. How do you instill a hatred of rivals that matches fans' intensity when we're in such a transient period of college football?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of challenges with our transient nature roster-wise. One is maybe what you're talking about in creating a passion and an understanding of rivalry. I think you have to educate your team on what that looks like. You can't expect them to maybe go out and figure it out on their own. You have to take it to them so they can feel it and touch it. And I also think along with that, it's the connectivity of a team. I think teams, you know, I'm a firm believer that, you know, teams – play for each other more than against somebody, like if they're great teams. And now playing who you play against, I am a believer that rivalries matter. Okay. I'm not one of these guys that's like, oh, it's just another game. No, they're not just another game. They're just not. Like, they're not for our fan base. What makes college football special and unique? But you maybe game plan like another game. Like, your game plan process doesn't change. But you have to have your guys maybe informed to understand, like, hey, there are certain games that the fan base, it's different. It hits different. It feels different. And we have to embrace that and make sure our guys understand that. And we have to start handling ourselves in those games the way we want to be viewed nationally, maybe from a different light.
You seem to be a fan of abbreviations. You've tweeted out that GMFG. We have our own thing at UF, THWG. Have you officially said to hell with Georgia, or are we going to get a John Summerall first right now?
No, we got to win against Georgia, and then I'll say plenty of things, but not until, we got to win some football games. My job right now is getting this team ready to win games. I like that acronym. I'm down with it. I'm good with it. It's coming hopefully, but we got to go win. We got to get this team equipped to win. I do love the acronym.
And when you do win, what are you going to be drinking to celebrate? You said you like to party after a game for one night.
Yeah, so Blanton's, Weller, those are kind of my two, probably Weller 12 are kind of like my two go-tos. And then we win a conference championship or we're in the CFP. That's when Pappy gets opened.
My husband said that there is a right or a wrong answer to this question. You just answered it correctly. He is very Eric Wilbur is a bourbon guy, so he's pumped. Well, Coach, I appreciate you so much. I think this was so much fun. I'm excited for this season and to see how spring plays out.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me on.
We've told you all year about Sleeper, but here's a little bit of an update. They've just launched Team Picks, where you can choose winners for individual games. For example, go get on there right now and take our Gators to take down Mike White and UGA in tonight's basketball game. We appreciate Sleeper for all their support, so go check them out right now. The link is in my description.